It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've been looking at the subject of playing church. And I mentioned before that the church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church. The church that does not stand upon the Word of God is playing church. I don't know how much plainer I can be about that. There's so many perversions out today that many so-called churches are using, you might as well say, the Reader's Digest to tell people how to go to heaven. And let me say this, that the Reader's Digest is not the Bible. The Reader's Digest is simply a book that has been written by man. But the Bible is a book that has been written by God. Now, of course, God used holy men of old, and we looked at that last time. He used holy men of old to pin down the words that he wanted in the Scriptures. He wanted them to be the Scriptures. And so many times we forget that God is the author of the book, the Bible. The Bible is made up of 66, shall we say, chapters. It is one book, and everything fits together from the front all the way to the back. In fact, Jesus Christ says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You read about Jesus Christ, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God. And then in Revelation 22, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing besides Jesus Christ that we need to be giving our allegiance to as saved people today. One of the ways that we show our allegiance is by going to a local church, a good local Bible-believing local church that stands upon the Word of God. And I've said this before, that the King James Bible, I believe, is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and I said once before that this would include the woman, the women, that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, in the Word of God, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We wonder sometimes why we get into trouble as saved people. I'm talking about personal problems, personal trouble. And of course, we're human beings and things come along that cause us trouble, and sometimes we cause the trouble ourselves. Well, the Word of God, once again, helps us to understand that we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get into the Word of God and we study the Word of God and it becomes part of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. It means that we're drawing closer to the Lord, the closer we get to His Word. We need to be studying the Word of God. The Word of God, I believe, is the King James Bible. Something else I mentioned is to be carnally minded is playing church. In other words, being fleshly minded. It's enmity. Enmity? Why? Why is it enmity? Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, the unsaved person cannot understand completely the Word of God because it is spiritually discerned. The unsaved person can understand this, that they need a Savior, that there's one place to go, and that's heaven, and there's another place to go, and that's hell. Well, they need to understand also that God has sent His Son to die for them on the cross of Calvary to shed His blood, and that now He's alive and He's with the Heavenly Father. This is something that everybody in this world can understand. They're without excuse if they die and go to hell. That person who's never trusted Jesus Christ needs to say, oh Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've not done this sooner, but I want You to be my Savior. When a human being turns to God and says, Father, forgive me for the things I've done in my life that's past, and now I'm asking you for my future to be with you in heaven. When that person comes to a realization that they cannot save themselves, they need a Savior, they understand that from the Word of God. When they get that from the Word of God, then they ask Jesus Christ to save them, and then they can start understanding the other things that God has for the saved person. The Bible is written that you and I, as saved people, can understand. Jesus Christ said that when he would go back to heaven, that he would send the Comforter, that Comforter would lead us into all truth. And that's to the saved person. And once again, we can look at the unsaved person and say that unsaved person can be led into all truth, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and understanding they need a Savior. That's truth. Well, to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is playing church. And also a lukewarm church is simply playing church. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Well, there's such a thing going around, and it's been out for several years now, called the prosperity gospel. And that prosperity gospel teaches somewhat like this, that you need to be rich. As a Christian, you need to be rich. And they will teach you, try to teach you, that if you're not rich, there's something wrong in your life. That if you're living for the Lord, then you just simply ask God to give you things, and He'll give those things to you. I was speaking to a missionary recently. That missionary who travels back and forth overseas, he said that he went to speak to several preachers in a preacher's meeting where he was going, where he was at, and he walked in. It was scheduled, and he walked in, and there was very few people there, very few preachers, and he asked the man in charge, he said, "Where are the people?" He said, "Well, they're overseeing this prosperity preacher, the one who's preaching prosperity." And so later on, he would go in, this missionary, he went in and he heard what this man was trying to tell people, that they could be rich. And said, "You ask anything you want and God's going to give it to you." And one man stood up and he said, "I want your airplane." Well, that stopped this prosperity preacher right in his tracks. He couldn't say anything else. The man did what this prosperity preacher said. "Ask anything that you want, you'll get it." And he asked that. He said, "I want your airplane." Well, needless to say, the man did not get this prosperity preacher's airplane. That's one of the dangers of not being in the Word of God. That's a danger for a saved person who's not in the Word of God, of listening to someone who says, "You know, you need to be rich, and if you're not rich, there's something wrong with you as a Christian." Well, that's not what God teaches us. I've said this so many times, that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. We will have trouble in this life as saved people. Why? Because we're still in this human body. The Word of God teaches us that we will suffer persecution. People will make fun of us. And when that happens, we just need to praise God and thank God for saving our souls, and just thanking Him that we're able to serve Him while in this life. Well, we don't want a lukewarm church, do we? We don't want a church. We don't want to belong somewhere where God says, "You make me sick at my stomach because you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just playing church." We don't want to be there. We want to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, one that stands upon the Word of God, one that's hot for the Lord, winning souls for Christ, telling individuals, "You must be born again. Jesus can save you if you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior." That's the church we need to belong to, one that's preaching the Word of God. Well, something else I see here is a building worshiper. Worshipers are just playing church. Let me say that again. Building worshiper, someone who worships the building. Something like that. The building is temporary. It's not eternal. Some people look and says, "What? Look at what we have. Look how much we have. Look at our nice building that we have." And shouldn't everybody belong to us and come to our building because it's so beautiful? Well, let me remind you this, that God looks on the inward, not the outward appearance. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice building. There's nothing wrong with having nice, comfortable pews. That is, as long as we don't go to sleep sitting in those pews. There's nothing wrong with looking good for the Lord. Men and women need to look their best. And some says, you know, they would say, how do I need to dress when I go to church? I believe you need to wear the best you have. Some have better than others. But as long as you do what God wants you to and wear the best that you have, showing God honor as you go into the place of worship, let God lead and guide you. But sometimes we look on the outward appearance of a man or a woman and we say, "Oh, look at that individual." Now, sometimes people get jealous of another person, but sometimes they look up to them and they put them on a pedestal because of what they look like. And I believe that is seen many times as a person watches a television evangelist or goes to, a prosperity preacher and hear him preach or whatever. By the way, my advice to you is not to go to hear these characters that stand up and give you false information. But sometimes we look up to individuals, and just as we're not to look up to the buildings, we're not to look up to that individual. We're to look up to God. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Now, understand this, that we're seeing a couple of things in these verses I just read. There's such a thing as a physical building, church building that we go to. And there's such a thing as the building of God that we live personally. We are the house of God. We, the people of God. It says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." One of these days, this old vile body is going to be changed, and I'm going to have a new house. I'm going to have a new body. Jesus Christ has promised me that one day he's coming back in the clouds, and he's going to say, "Come up hither," and I'll go to be with him forever. And you can do that too, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've done that, you will be with me one day as Jesus Christ comes back and says, "Come up hither." Our bodies will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.